Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you for tuning in to the Debunker Boys. My name is Guzzo. Alongside of me is Randy. Unfortunately, our other co-hosts, Casper and Debunker Bob, could not be here due to some prior engagements. Apparently, Debunker Bob thinks that a hockey game is more important than doing our radio show. What's going on tonight, Randy?
Not much. Just excited to be here as usual.
Yeah, I'm really excited. You know, we were asked to join the URN network, and we feel very privileged that we were allowed to. You know, the Debunker Boys show is kind of after we did the first episode back when we were on Spreaker, it kind of became a passion. You know, it's all we can think or talk about. And it really has taken off. My name is Guzzo, and we thought this first show would just be kind of our introduction, telling you what the Debunker Boys are about and what we're not about. It's a very controversial thing that we're doing, and it seems to piss a lot of people off, which is kind of fun. Don't you agree, Randy?
Well, yeah, sometimes. At other times, it gets a little frustrating, I think. But, you know, the truth of the matter is that there's a lot of people out there that go that extra mile, so to speak, to debunk their own evidence, and when they, you know, after an investigation or whatever, they just find something and they're like, hey, look at this, I got something. And then they put it out there for peer review and people call shenanigans and then they get bent out of shape about it. That part's kind of funny, but.
Oh, most definitely. So, well, you know, what actually got you into the paranormal? I mean, what got you into looking for ghosts and running around in the dark?
Oh, God. I've had an interest in paranormal and metaphysics and the occult and things like that pretty much ever since I can remember, ever since I was real little. I grew up, my heroes were mythical characters like Merlin. Anyway, you know, as I got older, I had a lot of personal experiences of my own and things that made me question, you know, the generally accepted ideas about life, life and death and life after death and that kind of thing. So I started digging into it more and more and, you know, studying and learning what I could. And then a few years ago, a friend of mine wanted to start ghost hunting, and he asked me to hop in there and help him co-found the group, which I did. And I've been kind of on it ever since.
I'll never forget my first experience at my neighbor's house when I was probably about 12 years old, hearing the footsteps. It's life-changing when you have that first experience that you really can't explain.
Right.
For anyone that might be listening in, and thank you if you are listening in, this show, we didn't have any guests set up. Actually, we had planned it out that we were going to have this show, but we planned it, but we didn't plan it, which is kind of weird. So we're kind of winging it this first 2-hour segment. And both Randy and I can talk for more than 2 hours, so filling up this time is not going to be a problem. But the Bunker Boys, I thought I'd go into a little bit how it all started. Bob, also known as Robert Cornell, and myself, I'm Ryan Gazzardo. We started conversating back months ago. Actually, it was over a girl, a girl that was hitting me up that both of us knew. And we just started talking back and forth, and we started talking about different paranormal experiences. We'd been friends for about 2 years, but didn't talk that much, and we started, like, sharing ideas, and we started realizing how much they correlated, and getting really pissed off at seeing different paranormal groups posting evidence, and we're like, well, that's obviously organic, and we started a Facebook page called The Unofficial Portal, which was based around evidence, putting it to skeptic, you know, giving it a look at it with a healthy skepticism and scientific background. And we tell them what we thought about it, and we told them, and they, even if they were convinced that it was paranormal, we'd say, try to recreate it. Have to prove this, you know, we don't know how this works, that's why we brought it to you. And we said, exactly, that's why we're trying to explain it for you. Irritated at us, we kept doing what we do, and
right.
And we said, let's call it, you know, we were brainstorming, and we came up with the name Debunker Boys. And The minute that name got out, you know, people were like, oh, it's a bad thing. And, you know, it's not, and we started doing this radio show talking about evidence, talking about how evidence can be faked, how it can be misunderstood, misidentified, and that just kind of took off, and since then we've been getting hate mail ever since, right, Randy?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. So, like, what do you think makes you a debunker boy?
Okay, what makes me a debunker boy? I think it's with me. It's that. Oh, God, how do I explain this? While I am a believer, and I am a very, very firm believer, due to, you know, the experiences that I've had personally, I don't believe that everything that, you know, people experience is necessarily paranormal. There are logical and rational explanations for things. I don't really know how to explain what I'm trying to say, I guess.
Take your time. We're not trying to rush you here.
Oh, yeah, we've got, what, an hour and 50 minutes left? I'll try not to take up all of it. It's just, you know, like... I think a good example would be an investigation that we went on a couple of years ago, where we got a call. This woman was talking about, you know, she had just married this guy. They lived out in the country. You know, the house was extremely old. It was, you know, a family, you know, like a family house. Her husband's parents had lived in it prior to him. His grandparents had lived in it prior to that. You know, and the house was something like 150 years old or something. And when we went in, there were pictures like all over the place of this guy's descendants or ancestors and stuff on the walls and It was a really, really neat house, and the house had a lot of history, but, you know, she was absolutely convinced beyond a shadow of a doubt that the place was haunted, and she wanted us to come out and do an investigation, and so we did, and she already made up her mind about a whole lot of things. Well, you know, she'd heard scratching on the wall, she'd heard, you know, seen shadows moving, she'd seen, you know, all the standard stuff. And when we did this investigation, after doing the digging and stuff that we try to do, we realized, you know, I'm not going to say that the place wasn't haunted, but we didn't find any evidence of it and stuff. The scratching on the wall was literally mice. You know, that were coming in out of the house is in the middle of the cornfield, and it was the fall. So the mice were coming out of the cornfield and, you know, hiding in the walls to keep warm, which is, you know, that happens in old farmhouses.
Well, yeah.
So, you know, and then, yeah, there were other things that we found, and it was just, but these were things that people didn't think of. And I think that's, you know, I think that's part of what debunking is all about. You've got to look for the logical and rational explanations thing. And, you know, if you can't find a logical or rational explanation for what it is, it still isn't necessarily paranormal. It just means that you don't know what it is.
Well, yeah. I mean, it seems like every Tom, Dick, and Harry that has watched Ghost Hunters on TV and goes out and buys themselves a voice recorder says things paranormal investigator, and they're out to catch the next irrefutable proof of the existence of ghosts.
Right. You know, again, I agree. You know, I think everybody would like to do that. I would love to do that. I would absolutely love to, you know, do something like Ghostbusters and, like, you know, go out and kick out a trap and suck in a ghost and, you know, take it on tour or something. But
so, like, with the Bigfoot body?
Right.
You know, what do you think some of the things that we debunk, and what are some of the things that we won't debunk?
What will we not debunk? You know, I will look at anything. You know, when I go on investigation, somebody calls and says, "Hey, you know, I need you to come and check out my place." I go, believing that they have experienced something. You know, they believe that they have experienced something. So, you know, I try to keep it optimistic, but I don't go expecting anything.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean? So it's like, you know, if we get something, great. If we don't get something, I'm not going to be surprised.
Well, yeah.
You know? So, like, you know, we may be on investigation, and we may, you know, we may get some EVPs, we may get, you know, some photographs or whatever, and then we take that evidence, and then, or you know, potential evidence, I guess, is, you know, would be a more appropriate term, but and then, you know, try and figure out what it is. You know, we'll go back and recreate it if we have to, or try to recreate it if we can. You know, or find a source for it.
Here's the disclaimer I was trying to get you to say, Randy. The Bunker Boys, once again, we're not against the paranormal. We're actually for the paranormal. We're enthusiasts. We just think everything about these. Consider ourselves paranormal philosophers. And we're not happy with the evidence that's out there and the way people are capturing it. We're trying to go forward rather than stay stagnant. That's why our headline states, shedding light on the idiocracy and complacency within the paranormal community.
Right.
we're not out to attack people. And I don't know how many people we've had come to us and literally write us a book on a personal experience that they had. And
right.
That's one thing that we will not touch. We will not touch personal experiences. For one thing, a lot of them are very, very sensitive. Cases,
right, right.
Very, very sensitive, very personal. And when we sit there and say, well, there's a good chance that actually did not happen. They get all butthurt, you know. They think we just pissed in their Cheerios.
Right.
Another thing, you know, perception is reality in any situation, you know. And
right.
and the brain has an amazing way of taking something that seems impossible details to make it seem possible.
Yeah, it's just it fills in the blanks.
Uh huh. Yeah, and it does so with just about anything. Pictures, when you're walking in the dark, why do you think you can see in the dark so well? Like, especially in places that you've been, you know, like in your own bedroom, you're going to know where everything is. You can kind of see an outline of it. That's because that's
right.
Your brain making images from memory.
Right.
So it's
right,
not
yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, go ahead, Randy.
No. I was agreeing with you, you're just kind of thinking about what you were saying, and yeah, you know, personal experiences are, and you're right. You are right about that. I mean, a personal experience really is just that. It's a personal experience, but I personally would not classify it as evidence. Because it's not something that you can share other than, you know, like, tell somebody else about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
We had one incident with where this person started telling their personal experience, and then they said, what do you think about this? And we said, oh, crap. And
here we go.
And when we gave a logical explanation, they counteracted that with coming at us with another part of the story, like another detail in the story. And when we – and then they said, what do you think of this? And once again, we said, oh, hell. And we told them what was probably going on. And then we had to back up and verify what we were saying. Someone that had an actual psychology background. And – but that still did not satisfy the individual, and they came at us with another detail, another part of the story.
Right.
So,
well, that's just like any other. You know, I think everybody's been on an investigation at one time or another where, you know, you're walking around in the dark, and you feel something touch you, or brush up against you, or. You know, you feel something, you experience something. And a lot of times people are like, you know, I just felt something. And everybody's like, oh, okay, you know, let's check this area out. So they whip out their digital audio recorders and start doing, you know, their EVP sessions. And they whip out the EMF meters to see if they can get anything that way. And you know, people are taking photos and running their video cameras and stuff in that area. And maybe you get something or maybe you don't. But if you don't, then I mean, what really is that? You know, do you put that on your website or do you write up a report saying, you know, I walked through this area and I got touched?
Yeah.
Is that evidence? No, that's not evidence. that means you walk through a cobweb, or that means that you,
contributing factor to being touched is muscle twitches. People seem to forget that.
Right. So it's like that's not evidence. I'm sorry, but that is not evidence of anything, that it's a personal experience. and stuff. Evidence is something that you can present to other people.
Yeah. Like, it's, you know, that's why DVRs are so such a common use of equipment investigations. Because that's
right.
24-hour constantly monitoring things. And actually, I don't, when I was doing investigating, I didn't use a DVR so much to try to catch evidence, but it was more to keep an eye on the investigators out there.
Right.
Because that gives you something to look back on to see what was going on, especially when listening to an audio clip. Oh, my God. I hate EVPs.
Yeah. Yeah, I in my own group, back when we had a website and stuff, me and the founder used to go around and around and around about DVPs that we would actually put on the website. And I refused to put anything on there that wasn't absolutely a Class A EVP and stuff. If there was any question at all, if the entire team could not agree on exactly what they heard word for word, then it didn't go onto our website.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it had to be clear. You had to be able to hear what we're saying. If there was any guesswork at all, we didn't toss it out. You know, we kept it, we archived it or whatever, but we didn't put it up for scrutiny.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's just, to me, that's just, it could be anything.
Well, it's, when going over EVPs, one of the worst people, I absolutely hate the way they do this on Ghost Adventures. What do they tell you? Oh, we captured an EVP at this point, and we think it's saying this. And then not
right.
only do they do that, but they put the word up that they think it is, which automatically plants that in your mind.
Right, yeah, it's like subliminal messaging, almost. But it's not quite subliminal.
No, not at all. All right, well, we got a caller here, so we're going to go ahead and bring them on.
Okay, great.
Hey, thank you for calling into the Debunker Boys show. Who am I talking with?
You're talking with Megan Herrick. Hello? Hello?
Hey, sir.
Are you still there, Debunker?
Yeah, Megan Herrick. Oh. Can you hear me?
Oh, yeah.
I'm having a little trouble hearing you, Guzzo. You're just kind of cutting out there.
Okay, so I can hear you. Can you hear me now?
We.
Ryan, hold on. Okay,
oh.
So can you hear me now, Ryan?
I can hear you.
Okay, that's good.
All right. Cool.
I said when I first talked about. Okay, I was listening to you over the phone, but I'm going to try to get it on my laptop. That way I can hear exactly what you're saying. So, give me a second.
Yeah.
What website did I go to again?
All you got to do is click on the link. The link comes to the page.
Hold on. I know, this is kind of annoying, but just bear with me.
That's
Okay, here we go.
All right. I can hear you just
okay,
fine.
So let's see if it's going to work now. Oh, okay, so is
can you hear me now?
A little bit.
All right. Randy, go ahead and keep talking. I'm gonna call in using my phone, okay?
Okay.
Oh.
All right.
Okay, I'm sorry. Can I get your name again?
Megan Herrick.
Okay, Megan. Hi, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I am doing great. So what has you calling in tonight?
Well, I'm just, like, curious more about, like, this debunking, like, when, like, people, like, put photos on the internet and they're, like, so, like, sure it's one thing, but really it could be another. Like, how do you, like, get to, like, figure out exactly if it's, like, a ghost or if it's not a ghost or if it's just somebody embellishing a picture?
Well, it really kind of depends. I mean, you know, you're talking about a situation where... you know, it's kind of like what we were talking about before. When somebody submits something to us to take a look at, the first thing that I'm going to tell them is, look, you know, I wasn't there. You know, I didn't experience it for myself. I didn't experience it firsthand. But what I can do is give you an honest opinion about what I believe that this is. And that honest opinion is going to be based on what I know about the subject in general. Like if it's a photograph, for instance, I have a pretty good knowledge of photography, pretty good background in photography, and I have a pretty clear understanding of what can cause artifacts and anomalies to appear in photographs.
Hey, guess who's back?
Hey, there he is.
There, I was about to say, I guess not really very hard to guess.
Right. really, I think it's very important for anybody who's going to do paranormal investigating to really do their homework, you know, to know their equipment, to know how it works, and to find out as much as you can about it and what can cause anomalous things to occur. You know, and then when mm-hmm. when you get evidence, you need to kind of go through the evidence and try and eliminate the things that are that are possibilities, like orbs. I toss out of hand. Orbs are not evidence to me. Not at all. They're entirely too many things that can cause them.
You know
better,
what? You know what's weird? I actually have a seasonal allergy to orbs.
They have a seasonal
yeah.
allergy to you as well.
So for the people out there listening, the reason I say that is, what is it, about 90% of, at least 90% of the supposed orb pictures out there or orb videos are dust.
Yeah.
And and the other 10% are bugs, water, you know, dirty lens, goodness, the list goes on and on and on.
So basically,
right.
you're
yeah,
telling they're... people they just need to clean more before they take pictures.
Oh, yeah.
That's
yeah,
basically
I mean,
what
that's...
you just said. You just said you're dirty, you need to clean before you take pictures. Bugs, that's me, Ryan.
That's pretty much it. Clean your lens. But you know, with the whole orb thing, there's a reason why orbs are not captured on, like, when you're watching a movie and watching the behind the scenes and they're doing interviews and they're using these $10,000 cameras, there's a reason you don't see orbs show up on those cameras. Why is that, Randy?
Well, it's because it's good equipment. You know, cameras and digital, especially your digital equipment, is you've got different grades of equipment. You've got the really high-end stuff that, you know, professionals use, movie makers, you know, professional photographers, the guys that are doing, you know, shooting photographs for National Geographic or whatever, or sports magazines. And then you've got the little point-and-shoot stuff that everybody goes out and buys and takes pictures with, you know, selfies.
You know, if those pictures that they took that have, you know, these mists, that have these orbs and stuff, if that was definitive proof of the paranormal, why would they be selling those, you know, if cameras were able to catch that, why would they be selling them at Walmart? Because that would be groundbreaking. You know, how long have scientists been trying to prove the existence of ghosts?
Well, because most groundbreaking evidence isn't sold at Walmart.
Exactly.
Like, if there was groundbreaking evidence, it was not going to be sold at Walmart.
Right.
should we add a fifth, the bunker boy? Well, the bunker girl?
Yeah. It would make us a whole lot easier to look at, that's for sure.
Oh, most definitely, you know. We have an old guy, a bald guy, a fat guy, and, well, a Guido. And then we have our eye candy, right?
Right. gotta have that. I mean, all the paranormal TV shows have that, right?
Oh yeah. Ghost Hunters has Amy. No, not Amy Bruni. She's not really. She's cute, but who's the one that I'm thinking of? Chris Williams.
Oh right. Yeah, that's the one that everybody seems to be so.
Oh yeah, definitely. The thing that pisses me off about those guys is just to, like, if you want them to come to one of your events, you have to pay, like, $3,000 plus hotel and airfare just to have them for about 18 hours. Like, well, you only get them until they say, okay, I'm tired, I want to go to bed. And then the next day, you know, they're flying out anyways, so you don't even get them for a full 24 hours. So you got to pay almost $4,000 just to pretty much use, you know, for 6 hours. Like, I don't know.
Instead of doing all the math, Ryan, like 6 hours for this much, $10,000 for this much, why don't you just say it's a waste of money? Like, you make it sound so complicated.
Well, I want people to kind of understand, because I've actually talked to some of these booking agents, and it's like, you want what for what? So, but, you know, it's all for entertainment. That's, I mean, on all the paranormal investigating equipment that they sell, it all has that sticker that says, for entertainment purposes only.
Right.
Because, you know... And we could go on and on and on. You know, I really don't want to spoil too much in the first show of kind of what we're going to be debunking and everything. And honestly, we really want people to call in and challenge us. Give us a piece of evidence that is going to completely stump us. We're not looking to, like, attack people or anything. We're not looking to prove everyone wrong, because we know we're not going to be able to. There is stuff out there that's just like, leaves everyone dumbfounded, you know, just we have no explanation for it. And if listeners out there, if you have a piece of evidence that that you think is the next hot piece, you know, is the piece that is going to stump us and stump everyone else. Bring it to us. Just do not be afraid when we question you about it.
Right. And we're going to question you thoroughly.
Very thoroughly. What was the phrase that Robert came up with? He goes, if you can't shit, get off the pot, right?
Yeah, something like that. Something like that. Yeah, and I'm not too proud to say, you know, to admit when I'm stumped. I come across things that are outside of the realm of my, you know, my particular expertise or whatever. And sometimes I don't catch things. But, you know, there are other times I know what I know about what I know, and I know what I see.
Yeah.
So,
well,
you know, then,
well, Randy, do you consider yourself an expert? Are you an expert in this?
I don't think there are any experts.
Exactly.
I mean, how can anybody be an expert about something that nobody really knows anything about? You know, up to this point, you know, and probably in the foreseeable future, how is, you know, until how do you become an expert in something that nobody knows anything about?
This is very true. And so when we look at evidence, when we analyze evidence, all we are doing is giving an educated opinion. That's all
right.
We have is an educated
opinion.
You
mean a theory?
Well,
yeah theory.
Pretty much. Well,
you're giving
a
theory
hypothesis.
About what you think it is.
It's a
right.
hypothesis, Megan. A hypothesis is an...
I heard
is,
you the first time. It's a hypothesis.
That's where it's... an idea that is going to be put to the test. Now, when you take a hypothesis and you put it to the test and you get the desirable results repeatedly, then that becomes a theory. I learned that in psychology class.
Yeah.
Oh, you are learning something at college. Congratulations.
Yeah,
I am accomplishing something more than pissing my teachers off.
You're getting a degree in this for what?
Oh man, there was nothing when I approached my psychology teacher and asked him to come on our radio show. He rolled his eyes when I said the word paranormal. It's
right.
Funny. You know,
I would love
what?
To get people like that on our show. Seriously,
exactly.
I mean, you know, people who are not connected to the paranormal, generally speaking, you know, psychiatrists, psychologists, you know, photography experts, filmmakers, you know, people like that who can provide expert opinions on what it is that we do.
Yes. That's exactly what we need. Because we're knowledgeable, but we're not the smartest in all these
That
in
was
all these
very
stuff
well
deals.
Said.
Right.
So, Megan, have you had any experiences that could be classified paranormal?
Premonitions are considered paranormal.
Well,
are they?
Is it outside the normal realm of what people experience on a daily basis?
I think so, yeah. I mean, most people don't get, you know, premonitions.
Well, then that's paranormal.
Yeah, what kind of premonitions do you have?
Well, let's see. I remember this, like, really, really clearly. So I was about to go to bed. It was like 11:59 at night, and as I was going to sleep, I just had like this vision of my sister getting into a car accident, right? And then that next day when I woke up, my mom called me and told me she'd been in a car accident, and it was at the same exact time that I had had the vision. But, you know, I ignored it because I thought, okay, I'm just being dramatic, but no, I wasn't.
Right. And that's an amazing phenomenon that happens. I think that goes right along the lines of the phenomenon that happens between twins, like when one feels pain, the other feels pain.
Right.
Would you agree?
Would I? Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I've had similar. Yeah, Megan, do you consider yourself a psychic?
Not in, like, the slightest, but it's just, like, when really, really, really bad things are about to happen, the people that I'm extremely close to, that I, you know, tell everything, you know, it's, like, when something's about to happen, you know, to them or something really bad is going to happen to me, that's, you know, generally when the premonitions come. It's kind of like a warning or a foreshadowing almost. Like, it doesn't give me exact detail, but it kind of foreshadows during things in my life.
Mm-hmm. Now, do you maybe tie this into your religious beliefs?
You know, it's a really touchy subject when you talk about religion and paranormal, because it's like, I mean, it could go really right or really wrong. So I'm going to say, to take the chance not to piss a bunch of people off, I'm going to tell you no.
Okay.
I'm
well,
looking for any hate.
And when we were on the Casper Paranormal radio show, actually, he hit on this a little bit. Religion plays a huge, huge part in what is defined as paranormal. Everybody's religious views and backgrounds is going to, they're going to perceive a paranormal experience a little bit different. Do you follow me on that?
Yeah, based on their own perceptions, you know, how they were raised, their particular spiritual beliefs. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to interpret it differently.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
And you know, they're probably going to classify it a little bit differently.
Right.
Coming up, probably next week, we're actually going to be talking about possessions.
Right.
And what kind of goes on within a possession, and what the difference between a perceived possession is and what an actual possession is. And we're actually very excited about this. We're going to be having a lady calling in who actually has experience in this. And Robert was Bunker Bob was actually telling me a little bit about this, and I'm very excited to hear about this.
Nice.
Yeah. So, Megan, what are your beliefs in ghosts, you know, bumps in the night, that sort of thing?
I'm kind of like non-biased towards it, because how can you really tell somebody, you know, what to think or, you know, what it is or what it, you know, isn't is? I mean, everyone's different. So, I mean, it could very well be. I mean, I think there's fewer people who see ghosts than they claim. Like, I think there are people who see ghosts, but I don't believe there's as many as, you know, claim to be. I think maybe it's, like, few and far between. But I do believe
people. Oh, my God. We really need to add her to our team.
I do believe people can see ghosts. It's just more few and far between. Because the people who actually see ghosts, they're not, like, you know, trying to publicize it and, you know, say, oh, this is exactly what it is. People who actually see ghosts can be open to different ideas, maybe, of what it could possibly be, instead of just shutting it down and being like, no, this is it. I'm right. Fuck you. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. So thank God this show is edited explicit.
Oh, sorry.
But,
no,
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 no, no, no, no.
I didn't know.
No, you you can say whatever you want because this show has been marked explicit. So,
good.
Fuck ass and twat. You know, you can say whatever you want.
Cool.
So, you hit the nail on the head. What I found in a lot of cases that I've come across is the people that kind of open up to me and open up to the team about their paranormal experiences, this is something they've actually never told anyone else. And you can tell when they are telling you that it's like a weight lifted off their shoulder. It's like somebody who's not going to deem me as crazy. Somebody who's actually going to listen to me. And that's the problem with today's society. Everybody wants to put a label on things.
Right, right. You know, my group, actually, it was one of the things I found really, really funny was that when we really got rolling, our first year we did something like 67 investigations over the course of just the first year. And they were residential, you know, commercial. We did a couple of schools, you know, like colleges and universities and stuff. And but mostly in the private residences, when we would get to the location and stuff, we'd go in, we'd meet, you know, the homeowners or whatever, and we'd sit down and say, okay, you know, we talked on the phone. Why don't we go over what's going on again? You know, would you mind if we record it? Would you mind if we videotape it? Whatever. And we would do that for posterity, but in almost every single case, they would look right at us and say, you're going to think I'm crazy, but...
Oh, yeah.
Almost every single time they would say that. And it's like, no.
Famous last words.
Yeah, no, we don't think you're crazy. You know, we believe that you believe that you're experiencing something for you to find out what that is.
Mm-hmm.
I think kind of goes along like what Ryan was talking about with labels. I think anything that can't be under a label is kind of like goes like classified as crazy. Anything that, you know, you can't put a label on, people are like, oh, it's crazy. But it's only because they can't put a label on it and they don't know what it is.
I actually pissed off a psychologist once by doing this. He was asking a bunch of questions that seemed to be off a checklist and not really listening to what I was saying. And so I decided to, you know, kind of tap into this guy's mind. I said, do you believe in ghosts? And he goes, I believe in, I said, no, it's a yes or no question. I said, do you believe in ghosts? And he kept trying to beat around the bush on this question. And I said, answer, yes or no, do you believe in ghosts? And he goes, no. And I said, so if someone comes into your office and sits down and says that they believe in ghosts, do you automatically get a biased opinion of this person that they need some sort of medication? And he goes, well, I'm going to look at this and this and this. I said, yes, you're going to go off a checklist. But that doesn't mean that your own biased opinion is not going to outweigh what they are actually saying, where you already shut yourself off to listening to them because you do not believe in them. You do not believe what they're saying. And he goes, man, you are just out to get me, aren't you? He goes, I'm not here to be your friend. And I was like, whoa, buddy. Like, he said a lot more than that, but some of it was not so nice. But anyways, people want to put a label on things. And actually, I was learning that in one of my classes that it's more Americans that want to put labels on things. Like, you look at an art piece, and an American will look at that art piece and they'll say, well, what is it? You know, someone in Europe who's used to art, who just appreciates the art, they're just going to say, oh, that's art. You know,
right.
And I think that happens within the paranormal community as well. You know, somebody says, oh, I heard a voice. What's the first, in the normal Joe Schmo's mind, what's the first thing that they're going to think? Well, this person has schizophrenia.
Right.
So it's, you know, we're really looking forward to. And Megan, I wish you had some sort of picture, video, audio, something that you could show us that we could put our skills to the test, our Debunker Boy skills. You still with us, Megan?
Yeah, I'm still with you. I mean, I thought that'd be really hard, but like, I think anytime, maybe personally speaking, the paranormal happens, it's kind of like, it's like a rush almost. It's like, whoa. You're not really thinking like, hey, let me get my camera, let me take a photo. You're just kind of like, what the hell? Trying to make sense of it.
Yeah. That's probably why there's so many Blob Squatch pictures. You know, blurry pictures of Sasquatch.
Right.
Oh, now we're talking about Sasquatch. It doesn't go, wow.
I was just using
that as
a reference.
Do you believe in Sasquatch?
Oh, well, think about it. Every year, scientists discover 10,000 new species. A lot of them are insects, but they discover 10,000 new species a year. So who's to say that we found all the primates or all the early humans or whatever you want to call them? You know, I believe there's a possibility. I look at everything with a healthy skepticism. I say there is a possibility.
So you're saying you're open. That's it.
Oh, me personally, I think it's exciting, and I'm looking for the day that they actually come out with a, you know, someone says, I got a Bigfoot, you know, not this guy. Hold on a sec. What do you actually think about that guy? I mean, I can't remember his name. Who's supposedly touring the America with a Bigfoot body that he supposedly killed. That says he's got DNA evidence and stuff.
Honestly, I never heard about that.
Me
not
either.
Really...
I think you're the only one. But that's not a surprise either.
Well, Randy, do you remember back in, I think it was 2007, the guy in Georgia came out and said that he had a Bigfoot body, and he had killed a Bigfoot, and it was in his freezer, and it was all over the news.
I think I vaguely remember something about that, but I don't remember any of the details or anything. I'm honestly really not into, like, you know, the whole Bigfoot, Loch Ness Monster, you know, kind of phenomenon. That's never really been my thing.
Oh, my gosh, I'm looking at it right now. It really is.
Well, actually, back in
2007... That's a really nasty picture, Ryan.
back in 2007, you know, he said he had killed a Bigfoot and it was in his freezer and everything. Well, when they de-thawed it, they realized that it was a rubber suit with a rotting pig corpse inside. And
wow.
The same
exactly
guy came out...
Like.
And the guy that came out last year and said that he killed a Bigfoot and said it's been – he's got multiple videos up where he's had news reporters come and he's actually burned some of the hair. And they're like, yep, it's real hair and everything. But this guy was involved in one of the biggest hoaxes in the United States in the last, 50 years and everything. You know, and
wow.
And then he's going to come out and say, well, I have a real one now. You know, kind of.
Yeah, just by coincidence, I happened to find an actual Bigfoot and kill it after I perpetrated this hoax.
It's like a little baby dried wolf.
Right.
that's one thing we're going to have to talk about in one of our episodes is. Bigfoot evidence, because, you know, we're all about, you know, we're the paranormal. Paranormal is such a broad topic, you know, and it covers everything, UFOs, Bigfoot, Loch Ness Monster, whatever. You know, I think it'd be fun to talk about some other things once we've kind of got bored with ghosts. I wouldn't say we'd ever get bored with ghosts because, man, I'm telling you, I get a bro boner every time I talk about ghosts.
So.
Bro boner? Wow.
Yes, yes, bro boner.
Would you like to elaborate on that, Ryan? What a bro boner is?
A bro boner is what you get with your bros. It goes along the same lines as bromance, you know, brogy, that sort of thing. You know, it's a bro code thing.
Hear that, Randy? He has a bro boner.
Wow. I guess I'm too old for stuff because this is all new to me. Back in the day, we would have been like, man, you're a homo.
next week when Robert comes on, you'll hear bro boner at least once or twice.
Robert.
So, back to what were we talking about? Oh yeah, ghosts.
Right.
Oh my goodness, we still got an hour left. So
good luck. Your bro boner might be more interesting.
Yeah, since this is an explicit show, folks. The bro boner show.
If all else fails, can't go wrong.
We've been on different radio shows, different people's radio shows. We just got interviewed for a magazine, a paranormal magazine. And one of the questions that we got from this paranormal magazine is, what do you hope to accomplish through the Debunker Boys? And I was very, very tempted to put down, piss everyone off. but thinking about it, we're just trying to inspire the paranormal community to start doing what we're doing. Like, I don't know how many people we've talked to and they're like, the Debunker Boys, I love it. You know, it's a great idea. We do debunking ourselves, but we didn't make a team out of it. You know, and I'm like, oh, you debunk yourselves? But, you know, you go to a lot of these people's websites and their supposed evidence page is just filled with pictures of orbs, you know?
Right.
And, you know, it didn't take, you know, I don't have a PhD. I don't have a background in science. It didn't take long to find a picture of water vapor under a microscope. And I looked at it and I said, this looks just like most of the pictures of these supposed orbs. Is that coincidence?
Coincidence? I think not.
Randy, you know, with you having a background in photography, can you explain why orbs look this way?
Well, it's because they're artifacts. on your photograph. What it is that, like, it has a lot to do with the size of the image sensor and digital equipment, because in regular film cameras, I don't know if anybody even really uses them anymore, but like with regular film cameras and stuff, you will almost never, ever, ever get orbs. Almost never. And it has to do with the fact that there's not, it's all mechanical and a chemical process. It's, you know, there's no software, there's no, you know, computer technology really involved in the processing of the image. So they don't show up, because that medium does not create artifacts. Well, it does, but it doesn't, not like that. It's not the same thing. With orbs and digital photography equipment, when you're talking about that, when you're talking about like a higher end of equipment, SLR cameras, high end video equipment, and things of that nature, the image sensor inside the camera is actually pretty large, and it's very, very sophisticated. With in the smaller point and shoot digital cameras and equipment of that sort, the image sensors are made smaller and they're not anywhere near as sophisticated. And they do this to keep the camera affordable. You know, everybody wants to go out and buy a digital camera and take selfies and do whatever with them. And stuff.
Yeah,
I am one of them. I will definitely say, but I don't need a digital camera. I use my iPhone, so okay.
Right.
But I'm definitely in the selfie taking group. I'm the selfie holic.
Thank God.
Thank
God she is not a duck face selfie taker.
Yeah, that was my next question. The whole duck face phenomenon.
It's a bunch of girls trying to be sexy. Like, I like it. Okay, so obviously I'm a girl, clearly. And I'm in, like, that age range group, like, where the girls like to do the duck face, and it's like, bitch, what's wrong with your lips? Like, honestly, can't you just smile? Like, it's ridiculous. Like, it's not sexy. It's not cute. And you look, and some of the girls look constipated. Like, take a laxative, calm down.
Right. Yeah. So yeah, what it is that like you take the photograph, and most people when they're investigating this gets back to the whole thing about running around in the dark. Why the hell are we running around in the fucking dark for Christ's sake? If there's
fun.
Really something. Okay. Yeah. There you go.
Because when something does happen in the dark, you're more likely to get the adrenaline rush.
Right. So it's really, is it more about investigating or thrill seeking?
Goodness. Well, the reason I started ghost hunting, it was to find the answers. And, the more I did it, the more questions I ended up having. But it was, I remember the founder of the team I was on, Ghost Joe's. He used to tell us, like, when he got back from deployment, he needed something to fill that adrenaline rush. And he said the first time he had a paranormal experience.
Your call cannot be completed.
Hello.
That
was weird.
Yeah, that was strange.
What?
Maybe that's
that?
Paranormal right there. I don't know.
did that drop-down banner just come up on your computer that says caller 1 has dropped?
No.
Sorry, but your call cannot be completed.
You guys hear me?
Okay. That was weird. Hello?
I'm telling you, it's paranormal stuff.
Randy, are you still there?
I am still here. Can you hear me?
Yes.
We
can
hear you.
Okay.
Goodness.
Okay, yeah.
These ghosts don't want us debunking them.
They really don't,
shit.
Ryan. You're pissing them off.
I just saw something.
Just like you
board.
Wanted.
It looks like somebody's trying to call in. Or somebody's coming in. Who is that? Is that Bob, maybe?
Oh, are you seeing the number 1?
Yeah.
No, I don't know what that is. That's so weird. It says we have a guest in the chat room. Guest 6473.
Yeah, I see that.
I wonder who that is. Is that you, Megan?
Nope. Maybe you actually have a caller.
Maybe we do. That would be cool. We would love a caller. Goodness, we have been just kind of rambling on. And, as much as I love hearing my own voice, I would love someone to call in.
Wow, that Megan has a pretty nice voice.
Oh, she has a wonderful
thank you,
voice.
Randy.
You're not going to thank me?
Well, no.
What?
Nothing. So, Megan, you said you have premonitions. Like, have you had any other premonitions?
Not really. I mean, like I said, it's few and far between. Like, when I have them, you know, it's not very often. That's the thing. It's not like it's all the time.
Well, you said them. Like, you know, you've had more than one, correct?
Yes, I have had more than one.
Well, would you be comfortable in sharing another one?
I mean, it's just, like, not even, like, seriously, like, important stuff. It was, like, before my sister could figure out what the sex of her baby, like, before she could actually tell, like, I told her, I said, you're having a boy. And this is, like, when she first found out that she was pregnant. And I just kind of, like, knew. And I was right. And everyone was shocked because they thought it was a girl. But maybe it's just a lucky guess. I just kind of knew.
Well, I mean, it could be something. You know, it is a 50-50 shot. Unless they ended up,
I think
you know.
It was just a lucky guess.
It could Well, you know, they do say women have that strange ability to sense, you know, what someone's had. I don't know, but my mother got it wrong all three times. She swore up and down she was having a girl every time.
I think she did. I'm just kidding.
You're fired. Anyways.
You're not Donald Trump. Sorry, sweetheart. You have had enough to fire me. I quit.
Hey, there
Let's talk about our other guys that we got on the team.
If I had a question for Randy, I had a question for him first. I wanted to know if he's ever, like, experienced a ghost.
Have I ever experienced a ghost? Well, one of the experiences that I had I don't know exactly how old I was, but I actually come from a very very religiously confused background. My earliest memories of religion had to do. My family belonged to a Presbyterian church, and then a number of years later, they changed churches. They started going to a Lutheran church, and then my dad got onto this kick where he joined a Pentecostal church, and then we went back to the Lutheran church for a while, and then we went back to the Pentecostal church for a while.
Well, they're just covering all grounds to make sure that they hit the right denomination, you know, to get into heaven, right?
I guess so. But it was while we were members of this Pentecostal church that I had gone to a friend's house. And I was probably about 12, 13, 14 years old. And, well, maybe not even that old. Maybe I was a little younger than that. I don't remember exactly, but I do remember coming home, and there was like a whole lot of people at our house. You know, these cars in the driveway and stuff. And I was thinking, why are all these people here? So I walked into the house, and as it turns out, they were having like a Bible study at my parents' house that night that I had had no previous knowledge of. But as I walked in. I looked around and they were like, "Hi, Randy, how are you?" And I'm like, "I'm great, how are you?" And they were like, "Why don't you join us in prayer?" And all these people were standing in my parents' living room. All the furniture was pushed back out of the way. And they were all standing in this sort of rough circle in the living room, joined at the hands. And they were probably, including my family, my two brothers, my mom and my dad, there were probably a total of 20 people in the room. And so I took I took her, my mom's hand at my right, the pastor's hand at my left, and he started praying. And I don't remember what he was praying, but I do remember that I was standing there with my eyes closed, just sort of looking, and I started to feel sick. And I thought, wow, you know, I feel like I'm going to vomit, but I don't want to run to the bathroom. I don't want to interrupt or be rude or anything. Oh, that's weird. We got another caller.
Actually, you guys, it was fun talking to you, but my baby's sitting gig is up, and I'm going to have to drive home soon, so I'm going to say goodbye, and thank you for letting me call in.
No problem, Meg. Thank you for calling in.
We appreciate you calling in. Good to be talking to you.
All right, Randy, it was a pleasure. Ryan, well, it was fun. I'm just kidding.
I love you, Megan. All right, I'll talk to you later.
I love you, too.
All right, bye.
So should I finish the story?
Yeah, go ahead and finish it. You can't stop mid-story. We got people listening to us. Come on.
All right. But anyway, I started to feel sick, and I wasn't sure what to do. But anyway, the next thing I knew, I was I hit a wall. I mean, I literally hit a wall. I was flung backwards about 10 feet into a wall. And I remember sliding down the wall, and then everything went black. And then the next thing I knew, I was opening my eyes and looking around the room and wondering what the hell had just happened. You know, people were standing over me asking me if I was all right. And my dad, who was on the other side of the room watching what had happened, said that he had literally watched me float straight up about 6 inches off the floor and then shoot straight backwards into the wall.
Mm-hmm.
And that was probably like the biggest, most, I don't know, it was the event that like said, okay, yeah, there is something seriously weird out there.
Well, most definitely. All right, we got a caller here.
Good deal.
Hello? Hello?
Hey, guys.
Hi, caller.
Hey there. Who is this? Who are we speaking
with? Hey, what's going on?
Who are we speaking with?
AKA Paranormal
Outlaw. We can barely hear you. Can you hear him, Randy?
Yeah, he's kind of cutting out.
Caller, why don't you go ahead and try to call back in? Oh, yep, they call. All right. Facebook has dropped. What is going on with this thing?
Yeah, we'll have to.
But anyways, that's a crazy experience. I wish I could experience something like that. I'll never forget when I was down in Missouri. We went to one location and they had a doll that they believed was the center of the activity in the house. And so what did my dumbass do? I said, give me the doll. I'll take it home with me. And I'll be the next John Zaffis, you know, I'll be the haunted collector. We have Sparrat in the house. I just love the way that guy talks. Anyways, there's Sparrat. anyways, so I brought this doll home, and for the first couple of days, I just had this strange feeling, like, you know, you know, that paranoia feeling. And I was like, okay, all right, here we go. We got the caller.
Good deal.
Hello. Who are we speaking with?
Hey, this is Kevin, a.k.a. Paranormal Outlaw with the unknown, the URN Radio Network.
Hey, how you doing?
This is the guy that made this show possible.
What's going on, guys?
Oh, not much. Yeah, our first show kind of fell apart when Robert first said, oh, that's right, I got a hockey game to go to tonight. And our psychic on the team had an event going on. He's doing readings from 8 to midnight or something like that. I think it was like 8 to midnight. So he couldn't be on, you know, because that's what he makes his living on, is doing readings. So it was just kind of me and Randy, and we're like, shoot, we got 2 hours?
Hey, I've done it many a times on my shows where 20 minutes before airtime, I get an email from my guest, and they have an emergency, and so then I have to fill 2 hours of just rambling with my host. I know the feeling.
So when we came to you, Kevin, and we said, you know, we'd love, you know, we got our show. What did you think of when you heard the Debunker Boys?
Well, for one thing, you know, our network has every show on this network is completely different from the others, you know. So you guys seem like a great fit for the network, bringing something totally different, you know, as far as radio shows in what you guys do. And I thought it would be just a great fit for the network because we try to provide a vast majority of different styles and way radio shows are done. And in fact, one radio show that was on the network and my host had to step down for a little while, he's actually bringing his show back. So Friday nights are now full. So the network has now got a show 7 days a week. So
awesome.
Yeah. So now,
awesome.
You know, listeners can tune in any night of the week and get a different type of show. And that's what I want, you know. And, you know, controversy, you know, hey, we even on my shows, my Terrify radio show on Tuesdays, we can get into some controversial things. And, you know, I think a lot of the paranormal community, they don't want to, they're just trying to be, you know, they want to beat around the bush. They don't want to discuss things. And you said it earlier, you know, this field's kind of stagnant. It's kind of, it's like we're stuck in one spot in our field with evidence and moving forward. We've all had paranormal experiences, whether or not before or when we started doing the paranormal, you know, investigating. And I just believe that there's a lot of questions out there. We all have them in the back of our mind. And there's a lot of teams that, you know, there's no guidebook in paranormal investigation. There's no...
Oh, yes, there is. It's called Ghost Hunters.
One of my co-hosts said this one night, and I thought it was the funniest damn thing. He said, you know, if you're not in the field for the right reasons, and you know, trying not to get famous or try to be the, you know, best team in your state or whatever it might be, you know, got alternative reasons, you just need to put the batteries back in the remote and sit down and watch a Ghost Adventures and get out of the paranormal.
That's true. That is absolutely true. I could not agree more.
So, and I've seen it a lot of times, you know, it's very controversial when you put stuff out there on the internet. You put evidence out there, Randy, you said it earlier, you know, you don't really want to put anything out there that's not Class A EVP on the internet, because anytime you put something out there, it's under scrutiny. And, you know, you don't want to look like a dumbass putting something out there that somebody can hear something different, for one thing, or two, they might be able to debunk it themselves. And I see that a lot. You know, I see on Facebook a lot where people post pictures that, oh, did you see this? And it's a freaking orb. Well, orbs are kind of like us in the fact that we all have assholes, you know? They're everywhere. And so, you know, unless you got an EVP, maybe a personal experience, all happening simultaneously when you took that photograph of that orb, you know, then it kind of gives a little bit more validation. Now, that still, to me, does not say, oh, that's a ghost, right? But I can live with that if you post something like that. But posting a picture, and pictures are the worst, you know. Pictures, we matrix everything. We matrix everything.
My favorite pictures are the ones that people post on the psychic websites. And they just take a picture in their house, you know, of nothing, like of their TV or something like that. And then they ask the question, what do you see in this? And you'll get people saying, oh, well, I see a child sitting on a big wheel or something like that. You know, I think those are the funniest, because that's proof right there. That's like the biggest, that's the most evidence out there that people will fabricate whatever they want into something. You know, if they want to see something paranormal, they will see something paranormal. And those pictures, whenever I hear people saying, what do you see in this picture? And people say, oh, I see an old man hunched over. I see a child. I'll make up something like, I see a bird in a cage with a monkey standing over the cage, observing it with a paintbrush in his hand. You know, just something completely random, you know. And nobody seems to pick up on what I'm actually doing, because they're so involved. And they're like, no, it's a ghost, you know, and stuff like that.
it goes back to psychology. You know, when they hold up those cards with, you know, ink drops on it that are different shapes, and they ask you what you see in that picture. Well, we're all going to have different interpretations of what we see, because our brain, when it doesn't know something, it automatically tries to figure out something similar to it to pair it up. That's the way our brain works. I think a lot of the paranormal investigators out there, especially ones that don't have a lot of experience, they're hell-bent on what they see, and, you know, they don't realize. I've had guests on my show that are from the scientific community that have a lot of scientific theories and actual proof of things that us as individuals perceive with our eyes and our ears, right? Some of the stuff that people are perceiving to be ghosts are not. You know, we talked about this before on a show, and, you know, like, say, a lot of these places you have to rent out, right? You have to drop some money to go investigate, like Waverly or whatnot. But when you do that, you know that hundreds and hundreds of teams have been there. There's lots of evidence out there from those locations. So automatically your brain is processing, oh, we're about to go to a haunted location, right? So you're already prepping yourself mentally that you're going to have some kind of ghost experience. Well, when you do that, you can also fool yourself on what you're doing. And I've talked to a couple of my colleagues in the field about studying more of the human element when it comes to the paranormal. You know, how much do us as human beings influence an environment to the point that how can we not actually cause some of the stuff that happens? You know, go ahead.
Kevin, I love how you said some of the stuff, not this stuff, you know, you didn't say all of it, because not all of this stuff, what we say is 99% of what's out there is debunkable.
Yeah.
It's that other 1% that leaves us going forward in this field.
Right.
Yeah,
go ahead.
You know,
keep going.
I'm sorry. You know, what you were just saying, Kevin, that was actually something my team did at one time. Me and the founder of our team sat down and we talked about that very thing, and it came from the whole – we got into a discussion about why do we hunt in the dark? You know, why do we do it? You know, you know, any less likely that there's something paranormal going on with the lights on? Would there be?
Yeah.
You know, so we were discussing that, and then we were talking about the psychological element of it and stuff, and just what being in the dark does to you and stuff. And then we came up with an idea. We said, you know what we're going to do? We're going to tell our team members when we go on this investigation, because we would get everybody together prior to the investigation and kind of brief them on what we knew. And so we actually sat them down, or would sit them down and tell them, look, you know, we're going to a place. This place has got, you know, all these reports of paranormal activity. You know, there's people are hearing voices, blah, 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 all this stuff. And then we would take them someplace where there was absolutely not known for having any activity at all. And then we would observe them, and we would do the same thing, and, you know, we would get a case or something like that. We'd tell them, you know, they're thinking some things are going on, but they're not real sure. Yeah, you know, we would just downplay the whole thing. And it was real interesting to watch how the team worked with those preconceived ideas in their heads.
Yeah.
Hello?
Hello?
What is that?
I have no idea. That was weird.
That was weird. Looks like we got a third caller in here.
Yeah, it's Robert.
Oh,
hey, Robert.
What's going on, Rob? This is Bunker Bob here. Hello?
Hello.
Yeah.
I'm here.
Okay.
Rob?
Yeah, I jumped in at the last second.
You're cutting in and out, brother.
I said I jumped in at the last second, bro.
Oh, I see that. How was the hockey game?
Crap. Total crap. I went for my boy, and then the whole time he's looking at shiny pennies and shit. What you guys been talking about?
Well, a little bit about just what the Debunker Boys are about. So, since we have Rob here, why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself? Where you fit in with the Debunker Boys?
I'm one of you, shit. I'm 36. First experience was my kid screaming in the background. Sorry about that. First experience was demonic when I was a kid. That's what got me interested in stuff. I can't stand how people think everything's paranormal, and that pretty much cuts to the chase. The end.
The end. Wow, that totally filled up 2 hours. Anyways.
Well, you guys been talking about, like, you know, tossing gravel or something?
We've just
all been here.
A little bit of everything.
Yeah, Ryan went on this thing about bro boners, man. What the fuck is that shit?
Yeah. Robert, why don't you elaborate on what a bro boner is?
Well, it's almost like a bromance, but, like, it's moving on further in the bromance. You get a broner. Get some brony, you know what I mean? Everybody,
you know,
eats
you
it.
Know, when when we both get excited about something, you know, we call it a broner.
A broner. Wow.
Yay.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of like, it's like tater tots when you're drunk, you know? They're really good, but, you know, you just can't stop eating them.
You can't stop eating broners?
No, tater tots, bro. Tater tots.
Oh, okay.
So I log in and I get in the console here on Blog Talk, and I'm sitting here and I'm trying to talk to you through my headset and I can't do it. Well, what's the deal with that, dude? I had to call in on my phone.
Yeah,
what
I had
you
to
trouble
do?
With that earlier myself.
Hey, yeah, what you got to do is you got to log in to the actual show page, and right next to the call-in number is a little Skype button, and you can Skype in that way.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I
Skype
tried calling it as Skype.
Yeah, all I have is it says guest calling. That's it. Or call
yeah.
a guest. So I called myself and I added myself.
So that was what the dial I was.
Yeah, to get the badass stuff going, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, Robert, this is Kevin with the URN network. I called in to harass everybody.
Harry asked, what? Now I really got a broner, bro. What the fuck?
Have you been drinking,
yeah.
Robert?
No. Oh, hell, you should see me. Randy knows what I'm like when I'm drinking. Oh, man. It's been a long time, but I can make a whole room piss herself, dude. Literally. Have you guys been drinking? Or is it just that bored? No.
But,
okay, so,
Rob,
like, I'm in the studio right now, Kevin, and I don't see that button you're talking about, pal.
Not on the studio. You got to go to the actual show page where y'all show where guests can listen to your show. That's the sucky part about it is Skype and Blog Talk. It only lets you let the whoever's calling in as host, they can Skype in, but everybody else has to wait till the show goes live before they can Skype in. And they have to do it from the actual show page.
Okay, so we all can't log in at one time as host and then hit play or whatever. That sucks. No, I'll just do it this way at work. I just I let myself on in.
you don't necessarily have to call from the studio board. You can just call the number, and then when your number shows up on the board, you can put yourself live.
Yeah, well, what's nice about that is I don't have to put the host pin in. I just hit call myself and, you know, answer, and I'm home.
No, you don't have to put the host pin in. Only one of you has to do that, and then the others just call the show, the guest call-in number, and it'll say if you want to talk to the host, press 1. You press 1, and then you're in there, and you just unmute yourself. But you'll figure it out.
I'll definitely figure it out.
you
tell your kids you're on a radio show, and I don't care what you tell them. They will say your name, come in, make a noise, do anything they can to talk to you, but when you're not doing anything else, you're dirt. They don't even want to talk to you. They don't have nothing to do with you unless you're doing something.
It's because you don't smack them enough.
Oh, I smack them. Wait. This was recorded, wasn't it? What's that? Knock at the door, police. Okay, so what have you guys gone over? Is this just an intro show? You're just kind of shooting the shit kind of thing? Is that what we're doing here?
Yeah, we're trying to show people that, you know, we're not all serious and everything. We're not going to sit here and this isn't the public access network or anything where we're going to sit here and read Bible verses. We're trying to keep it like fun and stuff like that and just kind of tell what we do. And then Kevin was kind of talking about what he...
Who hit that button?
Are you playing with the
audio? Who hit the button? Y'all can't get it to stop either, dude. How do you stop it?
We're on a break.
I turned it all the way down. Nice. So what, am I the host or something? Because no one else looks like they're the host.
Kevin, can you tell us how this works?
It doesn't have a stop button. It just has a play button.
Yeah, man. Just put a stop button next to the play button.
Yeah, it's not there. I think there's something wrong with my flash player. We're listening to this the rest of the thing, dude.
It's your flash button.
Someone
else hit stop for me?
No, nobody can, bro. Yeah, refreshing your browser.
I'll just refresh it, Audrey.
Anybody that's on the studio can go through.
And I can't even hear Kevin now.
Way to go, turn it all the way down, dude.
Way to go. You just had to push a button, didn't you?
Well, that's all right, because I think my computer just went offline.
Is
that better?
Any of you that's on the board can shut the song off.
I just muted him and it's still playing. How does this work? Like, seriously, really?
Tiger call. Lieutenant Sam. Hey, dude.
Woo! Yeah, I put him on mute and I can still hear the song. Oh, my goodness.
You don't have to. Why would you mute me? I'm not on the soundboard.
I don't know. I thought it, maybe it would help.
Someone figured it out. Oh, it did.
Yeah.
All about back in there. Hold on. Anyway, so what did you guys talk about besides me screwing shit up?
Okay. When somebody presses play on it, any of you that are on the studio, you just have to scroll down to that song and stop it.
It just kept winding and winding and winding. It was crazy.
Oh, well, yeah. Sometimes that shit does that if your internet's getting slow on the Blog Talk. When you called back in, Did you call back in as host and type in the PIN number again, or did you just call the guest number?
No, I called myself.
Oh, okay. Well, when you do that and there's nobody on there on the board that's under host, the show will automatically cut off at the 2-hour mark, just so you know.
Okay, yes. 910-257-1780. I shouldn't be saying that, sorry. Is the host. Is that you, Kevin?
That's me.
Oh. Okay. As long as somebody's a host, then if you ever end up running over 2 hours, you won't be broadcasting live after 2 hours, but all the listeners that listen to it in the archives, they'll get the extra. Because there's been times when we've run over and we've been in the archives. In the archives, we put it to the test one night. The archives will actually record another hour.
Oh, wow.
But just so you know, if you're running late.
3 hours.
Yeah.
Well, we had a guest on, and we were just having a blast, so we went over about 15 minutes. But, yeah, just so you know that you don't have to rush, if you get almost to the ending point of 2 hours, you don't necessarily have to shut the show off. You can wind things down when you're ready.
Cool.
Good deal.
Very cool.
Now, I'm going to put you out of the test since no one's done that tonight.
All right.
Y'all ready?
Uh-huh.
All right, I need one of you guys to, on the board, scroll down. It's going to be all the way down in the U's. I have an EVP that my team recorded a couple years ago. And I want y'all to check it out.
Okay, which one am I looking for?
It's going to be under URN, and it's going to be I Have a Cookie is actually the label on it.
URN, I Have a Cookie. I'm not seeing it. Oh, Bean Fart? Really?
No, not Bean Fart. That's some of our sound effects.
Yeah. Oh, cool. you got that?
I'm tired.
Yes, this is awesome.
There's all kinds of stuff y'all can use. There's even Beavis and Butthead clips. There's Dr. Phil clips. All kinds of stuff.
Son of a bitch, gun.
You thought I was going to say son of a bitch, didn't you?
Okay. I Have a Cookie. I'm not seeing anyone that says I Have a Cookie.
Oh, Allen House. Go URN-Allen House. See what's under that.
URN-what?
Allen House. A-L-L-E-N.
Allen House. Where
I don't have my internet. I use it
here
on
it
my phone. Okay.
Here it is. All right. I'm going to go ahead and turn this up. Hey, Randy, you still there?
Yes, I am.
Okay, all right.
I did it again.
Oh, my gosh. That actually wasn't it, but that's another EVP.
Oh, here it is. I have a cookie. I got a cookie. And now... what were you guys using? You know, was that from a spirit box?
I probably need to. It's hard to play EVPs on here sometimes because it's hard to hear them. That's a Class A. That was up in the attic at the Allen House. 30 minutes after we started investigation, there's nobody upstairs. We're all on the first floor. No one else in the house. And we get, to me, it's a residual kind of an EVP because it's the mother and the son. And because the son says Caddy, and that was the name, you know, that we got historically of the original owners of the house. The mother's name was Caddy. And said Caddy, and she goes, yeah, I have a cookie. And that was caught up in the attic of this,
all right,
this home.
So, well, all right, were there any females in the building?
Yes, first floor.
Yes, first floor, all right. I'm assuming it was a wood-built house, correct?
Yep. Yeah.
Okay, all right. Was it out in the country? Was it in the city? What?
It's in the city. It's small town. it's not a real big city, I guess you could call it. Kind of a small town in Arkansas.
Okay. Well, the amazing thing, and I've actually captured this a couple of times, is I don't know how to put it. It's actually a reverberation echo that can happen. And a lot of times, I know if you have a voice recorder in a room that has a lot of metal in it, your voice actually echoes off of that. You know, echoes off these. You know, if you're in a room that does not have a lot of insulation and everything, like carpet, you know, fabric, you know, stuff like that. If it's a solid room and everything, and it's going to echo, well, you're gonna get EVPs every time you talk.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I it's really hard to say because you got to look at the size of the building. You actually got to look at the location where you guys were at in relation to this attic.
Mm-hmm.
So there are a lot of different factors that could be involved. Now, I'm not saying that it's not an EVP. You know, it is an EVP. It's an electronic voice phenomenon. It is something that you guys captured when you were not there.
Mm-hmm.
But to say that's 100%, you know, someone from the other side, you know, it's hard to put our fingers because I can't put myself in that situation. Like, I can't put myself in that building. What do you think, Randy?
Yeah. I think it's pretty compelling, personally. Like you said, I mean, I wasn't there. So I don't know, you know, I don't know too much about the conditions or, you know, whatever, or even about, like, you know, exactly what equipment was used to capture it, you know, whether it was analog or digital or, I'm sorry?
It was a digital EVP recorder.
Okay. Historically, if you look back in the records and you can find that name that's associated and that name comes up in the EVP, you know, and one that's clear, then I would say it's a good catch, you know, very good catch.
Oh, yeah.
That's really compelling.
That is. Well, I'd love to hear this EVP, like, not on Blog Talk.
Oh, yeah. If you could
send that to me as a file clip.
Yeah, because when you listen to the actual file, it's a lot more clear. And what's compelling is we just put a recorder up there because the attic is out. The building was built in 1901, so the attic's like what they call grandfather attic or whatever. It's almost like its own floor, and you could walk around in it just like another floor, right? And they used to hold parties up there on that third floor. And so we put a recorder up there. I guess Robert's calling back in.
Hey, Robert. Hi, Robert.
I'm back, brother.
All right. Did you go out and smoke a bowl?
No, I changed some stuff around on the computer. My internet connection was getting irritating with me, so I jacked it up about 700%. We're good now.
All right. Well. Now, Kevin, you can get Robert's opinion on this EVP.
Okay.
I'm so tempted to play that bean fart, though.
Flicking the bean? What?
All right, I'm gonna push it.
Whoa.
Yeah, that was sad. Anyways.
That's a vagina fart, dude.
That was not. I never, ever, ever heard something like that come out of a vagina. But anyway.
You obviously haven't been around good vaginas.
Hey, Ryan. Here's another, before we get back to what we were talking about, before Robert came on,
I'll put you to another test here.
Okay.
Under URN there, look for, it says either blooper or shit or something of that nature. See if you can find that.
Blooper, shit. Oh, that's easy to find.
URN. What is going to be on it?
Oh, you'll see.
Oh, okay. Blooper or... Oh, blooper gas. All right, here we go. You cut an EVP fart. All right.
Yep.
Wow.
You got 30 hex metal.
Oh, shit.
That was an actual EVP there as well, guys. That was me talking in the background to my dad at home base, talking to him about the DVR. And dad says, oh, and then what you hear after the word oh is a spirit. We caught it on the record.
Okay. Wow.
You got 30 hex.
Oh, shit.
I heard it. I heard that. What were you guys talking about though?
I was just telling him something about the cameras.
I'm tired.
We weren't even starting the investigation. We're one of those teams that when we get to a location, we turn a recorder on as soon as we get out of the vehicle, and we set a recorder on the table next to the DVR system while we were setting up, and we just let it run. And so I was telling Dad about some of the cameras, and he goes, oh, and the spirit who we caught 40 EVPs of the same guy during setup at home base on that recorder, and he was talking shit about all of us. So he was being, just being playful, I guess. So when Dad said, oh, he decided to say shit to be funny.
That's a load of crap.
Yes, it is,
Dr. Bill. Wow.
I'm sorry, dude. I like your soundboard. Your clips, they're awesome.
Well, yeah, I know, man. That's what I said. You guys got full access to all those clips. It doesn't matter. We use them.
But you had a ghost talking complete shit about you, and you didn't talk shit about it back?
Well, it was one of those things, dude, that we didn't know that the ghost was doing that. We were just doing our setup. We weren't even investigating. We get home, and the same voice is just making fun of people during the setup.
I think I would, too.
Wow.
I saw a bunch of people put a whole bunch of electronic equipment up, and they're trying to catch me, and I'm standing in front of them. I'd start talking shit playing with them, too. I'd be screwing people like you wouldn't believe.
Oh, I absolutely love when you're somewhere and you actually get evidence of interaction. I remember.
I have one, Ryan. I want you and Randy to come too.
You want us to what?
I want you to come to it. Both of you to come to this one. I can't say on air where it is because it's a friend of mine and they watch the cemetery. But there's a vault, where two people were buried in it, and if you put your EMF detector up against it and you ask it questions, it answers. Like, you say two flashes yes, one flash no, and it logically answers every question you ask it, yes and no questions. And there's no power lines under vaults or in cemeteries. So figure that one out. This is one I have. That's one of the ones I haven't been able to debunk yet. I've been working on it for like 2 years now. Can't figure it out.
Well, you get the team together. I'm sure if we put all three of our heads together,
You're going to figure out that that stone holds electricity and that a spirit's doing something. That's probably what we're going to find out. It's in Ovetz, Ohio.
Oh, yeah. Well, that should be fun. Yeah, I'm definitely coming that way within the next couple of weeks or so.
You're coming?
So we're going to have some fun. Well, I already told Robert that I was going to stand over and watch the
I didn't. What the hell? Sorry, dude. Go ahead.
So,
first
show.
Come on.
Yeah. First
you were telling Robert? Sorry. Delusion.
Why did you mute me?
I didn't mute you.
Somebody did.
I think you muted yourself, Bub. Anyway, you were saying something about Robert. What?
No, I said, you know, I'm going to be coming that way in the next couple of weeks, and I look forward to, you know, having the Debunker Boy team together, and we're going to do what we do best, you know, take selfies.
Yeah, and, you know, Dutch rudders. All day long, Dutch rudders.
And have bro boners.
It doesn't give me the option to mute you, dude.
Yeah, it does. You see the little...
Let me try. I can. Yes, I can. Okay, and I can... Okay. I can make people go away, even myself. Holy shit. I won't do it. What?
But this was a lot of fun. Well, it looks like we got a minute and 50 seconds to go.
We got an hour after that.
Yeah, but we did not accomplish much of anything this first show other than, hi, we're the Debunker Boys and we are clinically insane.
I'd like to give a shout out to a new friend. Her name's Marion Nabu. Hello, Marion. Anybody else want to do shout outs?
I'm just gonna tell you guys good luck on your show, and I look forward to having you guys come on my shows, and we'll interview you guys, and we'll have a lot of fun, and I'll let you guys wrap it up. Just remember, whenever you're ready to end the episode, you just click on end episode.
Yeah, down there, up in the right-hand corner, that big-ass button that says end episode. Okay.
Yeah.
Don't hit that, okay? No. I'll make sure not to.
All right, guys. Well, you have a great night.
You too,
buddy.
Thanks a lot, Kevin.
All right, man. Bye.
Kevin Costner is out like Seacrest.
Anyways, Robert, you said next week we're talking about possessions, correct?
What's that?
You said next week we're talking about possessions, correct? Or is that the week after?
Yeah, I want to talk about possessions. I want to talk about a lot of different things. Yeah, we're off air, but yeah, it's good. Yeah, I want to talk about a lot of different stuff about that. But yeah, we've got 2 hours, so the first hour we can talk about possessions. The second hour, we can talk about maybe the Ovetz thing. I'm going to have to get a hold of somebody to do it again. I'm going to have to get a hold of that person. I'm not going to say names, never will I say names, because I'll get this person fired and about 7 other people put in jail. So, but I want to check it out again. And that I can't explain it to date why it did it. I still can't explain it.
Mm-hmm.
So, the switchboard has one caller in it?
I don't know. That's you and me, and Randy's there, but he's a host, so it's not going to show up as my brother. But, anyhow.
Well, Randy get off?
Randy?
Would you two-way him and call in or something?
No, he called in himself.
It says one
still,
caller.
You know, we're still recording this, but anyways.
It doesn't matter, dude. Here, just end episode.
Yeah.
Everybody, goodbye, right. And we will see you next week. This is Robert, Bob, Debunker Bob, and Ryan Rizzardo as Guzzo. And Randy Keeler has left. You want to end that on AC/DC or something?
All right, here we go.